All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everybody, on this coming on this Saturday morning. Hope that you had a wonderful week, stress-free week, and you're getting some rest on this Saturday morning. Listen, this is a fresh start with Dr. Holt, and we are excited to see have you guys to join us on today and join us this morning. So get up, get ready. It's the Fresh Start Show with Dr. Holt. It's our show that talks about the issues in justice reform and issues with our brothers and sisters who have been formerly incarcerated, who's trying to get back to having a new life, a rebuilt life, redeveloped life. Fresh Start is an organization that believes in our mission, where everyone deserves a new beginning. So despite of what mistakes have taken place in the past, we want you to know that we're here for you to give you a fresh start. Keep it locked. We know we're early, but save the date. Fresh Start Expo is coming back. It is coming back to the Tucson Convention Center, October 21st, 9 a.m. To 1 p.m. So please keep it locked. Save the date. Save the date. You heard me once. You heard me twice. The Fresh Start Expo is coming back to the Tucson Convention Center downtown, like we were last year. So October 21st on that Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So please save the date. We want to see you there. You know, many people in your community, your family, people at your church, people all over our city that has been formerly incarcerated with felony issues and backgrounds. We're here to help, and we've been able to help these last few years. And last year, we served around 1,000 people on last year. So we're expecting our numbers to drastically increase. We increase every single year. So it's a possibility we could be serving 1,500 people this coming fall. And then we have the show, so we're constantly talking about our dates and our events all year. So we were able to bring all of our courts together, something unique, something extraordinary that we've never been able to do before. And that's what we're so thankful for, the vision of Fresh Start to be a catalyst for our whole county community to bring resources together, not try to be siloed and handle all the work alone, but bringing all the community and the partners and vendors and all the agencies together. So last year we had the city courts. We had our Superior Courts, Justice Courts, Juvenile Courts, Laura Conover's office with the County Attorney's Office, Megan Page with the Public Defender's Office. And we were able to do some magical, amazing things. We had so many people. Tom, you can test to that. What did you see people walking away?
Hey, man, bro. I mean, I always tell the story of the woman that came out of there, and I mean, tears were in her eyes. She was on the phone. She would put it on speakerphone, and she said, "They showed me on the screen that they took it away. It's no longer there. I can get my kids back."
Wow. Powerful.
A guy came out of there and had over $10,000 of fines, and he came out of there with 200 hours of community service. Yeah. That is life-changing for somebody that lives in poverty, to not have that hanging over them.
Yes.
Oh, dear God. Yes. What?
And not have to juggle, do I make my house payment? Or do I got to pay these court fees and fines not to go to jail? I mean,
I didn't see too many frowns coming out of that room.
Oh, yeah. It was powerful. Yeah. And then this is the thing, too, is that, again, out of all those people, not one person got arrested. Mm. All because we said, hey, you got warrants, come on down. We're going to help you with those warrants. Not one person was brought into custody. Not one person got handcuffs or shackles on them and was hauled off to the county jail. I mean, so this works.
Nobody threw a fit or anything.
That's right.
Everybody was just receiving what was there, and all of the volunteers that were there and all of the resources that were there.
It was very powerful. And to see judges had smiles on their faces. You know, usually we don't see that, right? They sit in their little dark little dungeon on the bench with their robes on, looking intimidating. But to see them in a different light, to be public servants and not just judicial officers, was something magical too. And so we were just able to do some amazing things, and that's why we're really promoting it early. for people who've been formerly incarcerated. You know, now we have people writing us from prison, say, hey, thank you for the show. Didn't know you existed. We never had a show that spoke about our struggles. So we are very, very thankful for this platform to be able to be a platform of inspiration, motivation, and not second chance, but fresh starts. You know, some of us blew our third, our fourth, our fifth chance, our 10th chance. But we're thankful for Fresh Start and the mission we have. Well, listen, we have a special guest with us on today. We'll come back and give us some final announcements at the end of the show. But this is my sister. I say it all over. Y'all know Adelita, she is dear to my heart. When I first came to the city, and she was working with working on the school board and this and that, she saw me do a presentation with juvenile courts, and she said, "This is the guy got to do something in the district." And ever since then, you know, people don't know that was a launching pad for me to do national work. So you just don't know who people are and what pathway that they have, and your contribution can be something major to help them, you know, get to that level. And so we have the Honorable Adelita Grijalva with us. I'm so used to working with her on the school board, but this is a different. I'm used to saying president of the Tucson United Unified School District. But now we're talking about chair. Wow,
yeah,
chair.
I know. Yeah, it surprised me when I found out that I was the first Latina to serve as chair.
Yeah,
like first person of color to serve, like woman to serve as chair, but only the second woman. Wow. Like in a community like Tucson, as diverse as we are, it really surprised me.
Yeah.
And so it really highlights what we need to do to provide opportunities for our young people to take over for all of us and for every generation. And it just highlighted that for me, because for the most part, you know, everyone that has served in that position has been, didn't look like me ever.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to be able to do that. And I think the perspective that I have from having served on the school board for 20 years has been really helpful, because, you know, sometimes those calls to the audience can be a little rough but on both boards, at any board you serve on. I mean, when you open your space to the public to listen to their concerns, you're not always going to hear things that you like, which I think is good. You're also not always going to hear things that you agree with, which I think is also good, because somewhere in there, you open up an opportunity for compromise, and that's what I'm hoping for. So we'll see. But yeah, it's been really, it's been a really good experience, really informative, and it's been fascinating.
It has taken me all year this far to get Adelita on the show. I mean, we went back and forth, and I said, I had to go all the way through her networking.
You just texted.
Protection detail, Secret Service.
Not true.
I mean,
I don't have
press
any
secretary.
Of that.
Filters on the phone.
Yeah, she got a press secretary. I'm like, man.
He is not telling the truth.
How do we get Adelita on the Fresh Start show?
He has my cell. He just texted. We just had to set it up a little advanced. Well, because, you know, it's spring break.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and so our kids were out of school on Friday. And
then
all next week, they're all out in TUSD.
Yeah.
And so trying to negotiate that. So it's been good. I'm glad I was able to come on.
So tell us, you're 20 years of serving on the governing board, and its transition to the Pima County Board of Supervisors.
Yeah, well, I did 2 years where I was doing both positions, and I thought that was really important, because I was elected to do that job, and I wanted to finish the job if I could.
Yeah.
And I did. There were a couple Tuesdays that were started at 8:30 and ended it like the next day sometimes. So those were a little rough, and I don't miss those long ones, but I do miss the opportunity to hear about all of the good things that are happening in our community with our students and our staff and our schools, because that's one thing I feel is really lacking in the Pima County perspective. I've been encouraging people to bring in young people so you can feel the change when they come in. It changes. It helps us to focus our energies on what we're doing. And one of the first votes that I was able to do on the Pima County Board of Supervisors is after 20 years in TUSD and starting with no preschool programs that were affordable for families that not that did not fall below the federal poverty line, because those were free or didn't have exceptional education needs. Those were also free. But anyone else, we didn't have opportunities. And so when my daughter was born and ready for preschool, I'm cruising around to all of our TUSD schools, like, where can I put her in school? Like, oh, we really don't have preschools for everyone.
Yeah.
So community schools was born. Now we have a community preschool in every elementary school. Wow. We have two of our formerly closed schools that are all dedicated to preschool. And so it's like a 500-time increase. I mean, we really increased the number of preschools, but we still didn't get the funding because our state doesn't fund kinder. They only fund half of kinder. So every district has to come up with their own. TUSD, that's a hit of $9 million to ensure that our young people have full-day preschool that nobody has to pay for, which, you know, it's not acceptable.
Right.
So they don't pay for preschool. And so one of the first votes that I was able to do on the Pima County Board is dedicate $10 million to preschool. So it was good because you're like, you That's have huge. This idea that you know is a good one, and now we just need the money.
Yeah.
So my hope is that we're going to be able to count on our governor and our federal government to really help to subsidize that. But until then, we're committed, at least three of us were committed to ensuring that we had this opportunity for, to date, just this year, we had, we almost have 1,200 young people that are in preschool. All of last year, we did 890. So in the first 3 months of this year, we've already exceeded what we did our first year. So I think it's kind of like what you said with Fresh Start. Like, once we get the ball rolling and the systems are in place, you know, we have sliding scale opportunities, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, because people, if you can, you want to be able to contribute to your child's education.
Most definitely.
But I would love for all preschool for everyone to be free.
Nice, nice, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, my co-host Tom, I know, one is really passionate about the homeless population, and we've been seeing tents. I mean, oh my God, just
everywhere.
Popping up everywhere. So I'm going to let Tom take the lead on that direction.
I talk to people throughout the city, and I work with the homeless. I do outreach throughout the city, and I understand fentanyl is just a curse. You know, but these people that are using it, your heart just bleeds for them because they are just so drawn to this because they're drawing away from something else. And you're talking about what an extraordinary $10 million for preschool. And we talk all the time about trauma and early childhood trauma and how that affects a child in their educational abilities throughout life. And to have that is just, that's legacy type programs that those lives are going to be touched by that for many, many years. The homeless population, I mean, if people are talking about making camps in the county, right, and making it illegal to be homeless in the city, you're going to have something at those camps in the county for them to go to them.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the answer, but we got to do something.
I think that one of the biggest issues is we have a real housing crisis. We're about 50,000 units short of where we need to be. And so we have a lot of temporary opportunities. We have the Wildcat Inn. We have the Comfort Zone. We're picking up another hotel. We're working with the city to do that. But we really need to address the people that are suffering with addiction. And one of the things that I noticed when I did a walkthrough with our sheriff through the jail is, one, that it was overcrowded, and two, that there were four pods of the pods that we visited that were dedicated to people who were detoxing. And that's not someplace you want to be in jail for. And so, you know, there, people are not trained medically to do, I mean, our COs, our corrections officers, are not trained to do that. And I feel like that was the big takeaway for me, that we need to make sure to provide more opportunities. Because even if you have insurance and can pay for it, there aren't a plethora of options for people who, you know, to get into some sort of detox facility and into treatment. Mm-hmm. So how do we make that more accessible to people? And then we are working with the county attorney, the health department, because I am also the representative for the Board of Supervisors on the health department, to talk about what we're going to do with this opioid funding, and that 100% of the funding is going to be going directly towards treatment and prevention services. And so the health department is looking at taking a big chunk of that and dedicating it to buying Narcan, because we are running out. And so it is saving lives, but how do we, I mean, that's the back end. That's like once the trauma has already happened, how are we going to do more on the front end? And one of the programs that, you know, where Dr. Holt volunteered to be a judge is Teen Court. And I was there for almost 25 years. And it's those kind of early programs that really help prevent a lot of this. And I know that that is something that, you know, the health department, housing, that is clearly, and economic development and workforce development is clearly the responsibility of the county working with our other cities and municipalities. So how are we going to do more to try to help people so they don't have to go through the kind of trauma that they find themselves on this, on, you know, living on the streets and unhoused? The other is, you know, we have this perception that people are just traveling through Tucson. They're just coming in and leaving. And when they do those day and time surveys and walk around and, you know, my staff has gone out and done the same thing, the vast majority of people have ties to Tucson. Their family is here. Some of them have homes here. And because their families are like, you know, you're addicted and if you won't go get treatment, you can't live here. That's why they're where they are. Yeah. And so this misconception that it's not our responsibility, it's because we're so welcoming that people are coming here to Tucson. The vast majority have ties here and they're part of our community and it's our responsibility to work.
And you brought up the Wildcat Inn and the Notel Motel and the other place.
Comfort Zone.
Because we work with the Wildcat Inn and we were bringing faith services in there. We helped them with their Christmas and stuff like that. It was wonderful.
Great. I heard all about it, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, super cool stuff to be able to do. You got four pods in the county jail that are full of people that are detoxing, and the vast majority of those people should be on access. Some of them aren't. Some of them are. Some of them could be farmed directly into a program rather than taking up space in the county jail. I mean, those are just ideas that you know, they're going to need the help. If you give them 28 days of a program, which is afforded to them through the insurance, their chance at success is really good.
No, I agree. People have to, I mean, I know that we've all known people who are addicted. And so you have to be ready for that process to start, right?
Yeah.
Because if you force someone into it, they're not there. But we do have teams, both in the city and the county, that go out to encampments and go out to different places that are reported and say, come into the fold. We'll get you signed up for different services. And that's one of the things that we talked about doing at the Mission Annex, is to have all of those services available there. So you have access, you have nonprofit organizations, faith organizations. I mean, really, it's an all hands on deck kind of a situation that we're in right now. But unfortunately, we couldn't move much further in that direction because of the shortage that we have with our sheriff's department. So we needed, you know, that kind of enforcement support to make sure that everyone feels safe in that area for everybody, and we're told that we couldn't. So now we're going to have pretrial services, another sort of temporary kind of looking unit that's going to be added to the current services on the property at the jail. So in the hopes that we can have some of those same umbrella services located there, co-located when people are exiting, you know, the prison.
Nice. Well, as you hear the voice, it is the Honorable Adelita Grijalva. If you recognize the voice, it is her. She is in the studio, 106 The Groove here at Fresh Start, and we're excited to have her here. As much time has gone by, we got six minutes left.
Time flies.
I mean, time flies. Even if it was an hour show, it just goes fast. But you're now not just a member of the Board of Supervisors, but now the chair.
Yes.
And also have made some history far as being a Latina female, taking leadership in this role. How has that transitioned been for you?
I think that it's been interesting. I mean, I've served as president for TUSD a couple of times, and the logistics of the meeting are not the problem. It really is every organization that we've all been a part of, if they have any kind of history, it's this resistance to, well, that's not the way we've ever done it. But we don't do it that way.
Yeah.
And what I continue to repeat is that if your policy says it's at the discretion of the chair, then that means that all of the other legal remedies are part of the wheelhouse and options. Yeah. And so being able to just, you know, there's a lot of, I think it would be very beneficial for us as a board to have a training on Robert's rules, on parliamentary procedure.
Wow, that's
on
great.
I mean, and I, we're going to do that, and we'll see if we have my colleagues that will join. I know at least two will, because what I think is really important is that if we all have a basic understanding of where we are, if we're going to do it this way, then this is what we do. You know, when you say call the question, if you have a motion and a second, is a vote to vote. Conversation ends. There's no more delay. Now we vote to see whether we're going to vote or not. Yeah. And if we all don't have that basic understanding, then, you know, the audience has never seen it look like that. And every board does it a little bit different. Every chair does it a little bit different. And so just coming up to some basic norms and understanding, I think, would be really helpful. But other than that, I feel very supported as far as having access to information and making sure in this position that I don't have any information that all of the other, my colleagues have. That's the one thing that I didn't like, where there's a lot of discretion from the chair position, that the chair gets the information. Yeah. And I, as soon as I got this position, I said, everyone needs the same information I have, because we're all duly elected. And so I don't want that on my shoulders at all. Yeah. I don't want to negotiate anything on behalf of the county or my colleagues without everyone being there. You know, in the past, people were looking at bringing different businesses in, and so that would go through the chair. Not anymore. Everyone gets the information that I have, because I think that that's important, because I don't want there to be a perception that anything is being done in secrecy.
Wow. You heard it. Adelita Grijalva, our chairperson of our Pima County Board of Supervisors, we're so thankful that you took the time out to be with us on today. And certainly, it's not going to be your last, because I want to bring you back and talk about grassroots work and how do we get into these places? How do we also inspire communities of color to start getting to looking at running for office? What does that look like? And I don't think we really share those gold nuggets. And I think we could stand to hear someone who's been very successful in that.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm happy to come back anytime. We'll just get it scheduled. You text me and we'll get it done.
All right. We're going to make that happen. All right, Tom, tell us what we got going on in the community.
We're talking about October 21st being the Fresh Start Expo, this next one. But we're having a mini expo, which is going to be at the Pima Release Center on May 5th. Because they're going to have a job fair. So we're going to bring in some job resources. We're going to bring in some other resources. And we're going to bring in the haircutters. And we're going to work with the guys that are in the programs inside. And then it's going to be offered to everybody that is on parole right now or has a connection to parole right now. Yeah. And come out there, find out what you need to have for October and get it ready so you can go before a judge in October and get your past eliminated so your future can go with a fresh start.
Awesome. And also keep it locked. Save the date. We got Fresh Start is busy this year. We also got May 13th. Fresh Start is hosting our very first In the School to Prison Pipeline Conference at Palo Verde High School in partnership with our juvenile judges. We're going to have Dustin Williams. He's bringing him and his crew. Lance Meeks with Goodwill. I mean, we got some really great people that's going to help us pull this through. We have too many of our kids, too many of our babies, especially poor kids, kids of color, matriculating through that pipeline from school to prison, and we got to stop it. And so this is our first, certainly not going to be our last. I just believe we also can't be reactionary and work with our adults without being proactive, working with our kids, making sure that we're looking at expulsions and hearing situations and suspensions. All those things play a big part of the school to prison pipeline. So most definitely, Adelita, if there's some resources that Pima can join us and help us, we're certainly open.
Well, you know, I'm always interested in this topic, because I think that investing in our young people is the quickest way to accomplish reducing the number of people that are in prison. Yeah. And what always scared me is the statistic that if a child is suspended for one day, they are 50% less likely to graduate from high school.
Yeah.
And those are staggering numbers, because if you don't graduate from high school, it's not that you don't have other opportunities, but it does start a path for
yes,
you,
yes.
And one that is difficult to walk back from. Yes. So yes, anything that we can do. All I've been doing is typing in dates of things, yeah. activities that Fresh Start is having.
I got 13 seconds, guys. Listen, this is we had a great time. Keep those dates locked. Join us every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Every Saturday morning on 106 The Groove. Have a wonderful weekend.